This is Rocky Mountain Voices, powered by PodTech.
Now that you have the internet, whatever they put online finds an audience. There's this kind of phenomenon where no matter how much variety they offer, the more choice they offer, the more people buy, and the more distributed the purchases are.
This is Brad Baldwin with Rocky Mountain Voices. I'm here with the CEO of Poddango, a fast and cool startup in Orem, Utah. Lee, it's exciting to be able to see you again.
It's good to see you, Brad.
What are some of the things that that really kind of brought you into Poddango?
Probably for most people, as they go through their life, they feel like every job they take is a confluence of multiple influences, and therefore they're prepared to take that job. And I started recording music when I was 13 years old in big studios and started to really fall in love with all the audio stuff, but found that there were just, I told my dad, when I grow up, I want to be a musician. And he said, well, you can't have it both ways. You know, you can't grow up and be a musician. So I just trained in some other things and fell in love with computers and programming and all that stuff. And kind of had to set music aside, still wrote music, still recorded stuff. But then I found myself at NextPage working there. The experience was a remarkable one in many ways. One of the things was I was surrounded by really smart people. As I was challenged by that, I found myself wanting to consume more and more information and make better use of the drive 25 or 30 minutes each morning and then back in the evening. And so I took my email inbox, all of those newsletters you subscribe to, and tuck them away in folders by rules. And then you intend to get there and you look over and there's 400 or 500 of them before you really get to it. I turned that into an opportunity by taking those and converting them into text aloud, which turned them into MP3 files through text-to-speech engine. And I would listen to them on my way to work and on my way home. And so I was listening to podcasts essentially and making better use of my time. And I realized what could be done on the internet with audio. And then attended last year's Podcasting and Portable Media Expo and said, that's it. This is where I've got to go with my career. Because what I saw there was that podcasting was fulfilling exactly that experience that I had at NextPage. And it could take advantage of all this other audio experience that I had prior in my life. And I think that podcasting and music go really nicely together in terms of the distribution of the music. Similarly, it's really hard for talented people who understand a particular concept to get published, whether that's in audio or print format. So enter blogs, enter podcasts, enter vidcasts, and all of a sudden you have a market now that flattens that out and gets at a long tail kind of a benefit where the content is all these different topics spread along a few thousand people that are interested. You no longer have to have hundreds of thousands of people interested for it to be interesting to do. And I said, I've got to build a business around that model. And so that led us to Poddango and was just a confluence of all these other things coming together.
Well, that's great. It's probably easy for you to love to go to work now because it's
I don't go to work. Here. I go downstairs. I'm in my jammies down there until about 7:30 in the morning, getting up at, 5 o'clock or whatever. And then drive the kids to school, come back, change my clothes, still go downstairs. And it's just work all day and night building this little business. And that's how all of us are working. You say we're out of Orem, Utah. Well, that's true. We're also out of Spanish Fork, Utah, and we're out of South Salt Lake, and we're out of North Salt Lake, we're out of Bountiful. Yeah, it's a virtual company. We really have taken this Web 2.0 thing to heart, where you can begin a business on a shoestring with very little money. Mm-hmm. Or if you take an investment like we did, you can take that amount of money and stretch it a very long ways.
You brought up the idea of this consumer-generated content. Mm-hmm. Now, I know you also have a history with a company called Folio Corporation, and you were, an executive there on the publisher division where you spent a lot of time working with professional content.
That's right.
You mentioned the recording industry. You mentioned authors and the publishers. Mm-hmm. Now, what do you think is really going to be the direction? Is this new medium that we have in podcasts and blogs, is it ripe for really shutting those people down, or is it just another alternative?
Ripe for shutting them down, I wouldn't believe. But I do believe that Chris Anderson's book, The Long Tail, makes some very good points. Early in that book, he establishes that we have been hit-oriented, meaning a big song is a hit, a movie is a hit, etc. And a lot of that's been required because of distribution. But now that you have the internet, and you have the ability to store a lot more content. You look at companies like Rhapsody, like Amazon, and others, and what they're finding is whatever they put online finds an audience. So there's this kind of phenomenon where no matter how much variety they offer, the more choice they offer, the more people buy, and the more distributed the purchases are. And fully 30% of the sales from Rhapsody are now out in that long tail. So we still have a hit sure. appetite, no doubt about it. Christina Aguilera is still selling more than Tina Jensen. Tina Jensen does this kind of funky, jazzy country thing, but for some people, they want Tina Jensen, and they'll buy a lot of it. Everything she does, they're there. Now, for her, it's 45,000 people. It's not a teeny audience, but compared to Christina Aguilera's audience of millions, but the point of fact is, the long tail is there. It's a very real phenomenon, and it goes as long as you continue to examine the charts. And, you know, Chris Anderson does a phenomenal job in that book. So I believe that that will be the phenomenon of the next several decades, is a shift where we get more and more and more choice in the long tail.
So it allows all of us to participate, in a sense, in the publishing and in the subscribing business. Mm-hmm. The technologies are really making that possible.
That's right. Whatever you love, whatever you are passionate about, increasingly, you will find that there is content. You may not know that you have these passions yet. That's the other really neat thing is you go through these discovery processes and you say, you know what? Tina Jensen's really good. I thought I liked Nora Jones, but with a little more country in there, oh, that's my favorite kind of music. You didn't know before because none of the producers could find millions of people who had those tastes.
Right. So now it's all about reaching that person, which is distribution.
Exactly, which is cheaper than ever, right? The costs will continue to come down because the profits will continue to be there in the long tail.
Okay.
So when we formed Podango, we looked at that and we said, how can we take advantage of what Google has done, what Amazon has done with content, appeal to the long tail, but help people with the other problem that happens? The problem with the long tail is you get this broad variety out there and you do have the discovery problem and you have quality problems, right? When you get consumers producing the content, well, when you talk about podcasting and blogs, I mean, instead of blogs you can read, you go, why did they take my time? I got a Google match on this. I came in, I looked at it, and it's a waste. And we get a little frustrated with that. So what we found, and the other, there's two phenomena. One is that distortion that takes place quality-wise in the long tail. The other thing is that you can kind of get this spoiler effect. If you watch Dig and Technorati and some of these, you get a few negative voices in there that like to kind of be the smartest guy in the room by being the contrarian. And they wind up creating this negative cycle on content that's really quite good because they're envious of it or don't like it. For whatever reason, they may not like it. And then that kind of discourages people who could discover it because they look at the Digs and the other things and say, oh, not good, I won't go there. Uh-huh. What we've thought is that by putting a benevolent dictator in place who has a small market focus and enabling them to then have all these same social networking tools and ranking and all of these kinds of things to enable rich conversations, we could go very far out in the long tail, but have a little bit less of a tendency for there to be one smart guy in the room, self-ordained contrarian, who winds up spoiling it for all these other people who could discover. And so we're kind of picky about who gets these Podango stations, but anybody can claim one in their area of interest. So we have stuff on, there's one called Podski, which is all about skiing in the Intermountain West. We have one that's on rockabilly music. Phenomenal. You get stuff that's out that far and long tail. We have some on dog grooming. The whole station on dog grooming. Not just a podcast, a station on dog grooming. And so you get these little niches like this, but dog groomers need to be cognizant of the difference between a Shih Tzu and a Pomeranian and what you do with how you trim. And so they'll get these people who are experts in these different breeds who will come on and podcast. I'm not kidding you about this. And you'll get 3,000 or 5,000 people who are absolutely passionate about this content. Well, that becomes a nice magnet for the people who sell dog shampoos, dog food, trimming utilities and little accessories and that sort of thing. The sponsors are there. These sponsors have never thought about buying radio before. They've never thought about buying TV ads or space like that. They've pretty much just had to go on word of mouth and trying to go hang out at these association conventions once a year. All that's changing now with this long tail and the advertising that can take place in little teeny niche markets. Just like people are interested in that content, sponsors and advertisers are interested in reaching those people. And so that's the pot angle model. And really what we're trying to do in the long tail is facilitate, just like these AdWords have done for Google, interest in particular areas, and then leveraging that in the form of advertising and interested parties and getting those people together.
Interesting. So since we have listeners from all over that will be listening to this, how do we go about setting up a channel? How do you request that? How does that process work with Poddango?
If you go to our homepage, if you look at the upper right-hand side of the screen, it says, are you a podcaster? Are you an advertiser? Would you like to own your own station? Click on one of those, and it'll take you to a little form that you fill out, and then you'll apply. We look for a number of things, but mainly we look for passion. We look for pull. You have to be able to, that's P-U-L-L.
Okay.
You need to be able to have some influence within your market as well. We look for popularity. Most of our station directors already have an audience in some form or fashion. Mm-hmm. They're either successful podcasters already, or they have books that they've written. Some of them have newsletters in their little area of interest. Sometimes they have been speakers at conventions and that sort of thing within their area of interest. Mm-hmm. But they show that they have some passion about it and some influence. And then we look for promotion. Do they have a sense of how to promote their podcast? Who are the vendors that they might sign up for sponsorship? Those factors together kind of get weighed in. And the other thing we look for is, does it sound fun?
Mm-hmm.
Well, people love this content. The only people we've turned away so far are people who have decency questions. Okay. Where they're in with hateful content. We go and look at their prior podcasts and blogs and stuff, and if they're racial, if they're anti-Semitic, if they are anti-gay, anti-lesbian, anti-heterosexual, and are mean about it. We're going to leave that to some of the other folks who tend to kind of want to cotton to the tawdry and the lewd or whatever else. You just won't find that on Poddango. We want a really clean brand where any sponsor will be comfortable associating their brand with us. We think that's going to help us in the long haul.
One of the things that I think is real interesting is when you start looking at devices and the ability to take things with you in smaller form factors.
Oh, yeah.
Is the iPod going to really drive this new generation? Do you?
Well, it certainly got it started.
Do you feel like it's going to be consumed on the computer?
Well, right now the statistics show that half of your podcasts are consumed at the computer. You know, we call it podcasting. In reality, it maybe should be called PC casting. A little less sexy, maybe.
Yes.
Because the iPod market was just so hot, or has been. You know, through June, Apple has sold over 65 million iPods. It has given a new kind of freedom to these consumers. That thing can go with them wherever they go. Now, when you start combining the properties of an iPod, larger hard drive, and the ability to get synchronized this way, with a cell phone capacity, and you start looking at the kind of card that I have in my PC for, I get it from Sprint, it's called an AirPhone card, sits in my PC and lets me get internet access anywhere. If you start Wi-Fi enabling these devices, all of a sudden you have a new kind of thing going on where you can synchronize your content directly to these entertainment devices, and people take them anywhere they want, and they stay updated all the time. There's no more of the synchronization thing. It starts to get almost as convenient as an FM radio to get this niche content. And I'm looking forward to that time. You know, better than 70% of the new cars now in the market have iPod support built in. So it's going to evolve, and you're going to find that we have the means to receive whatever we want, wherever we want, and have it right there. Lots of choices. The name of the game is more choice and more choice and more choice. And it'll continue to come. And what we have to do is get the content providers straightened out a little bit in terms of their protection of their content. And we have to come their direction as consumers a little bit. As we do that, we'll find that all the controls can be in place where everybody can feel good about getting compensated for their stuff they produce. But, you know, what I think is going to happen is the stickiness that you see on the side of the record labels and the traditional publishers in terms of adopting these new technologies and insisting on having really robust digital rights management technologies, things that protect their content, that's going to enable the folks who don't care as much about that and are willing to go and do advertising subsidized content. And we're going to see a new model emerge. And what we may see change a lot is that more and more people will be getting more and more of their entertainment and their content from these advertising subsidized and free kind of Web 2.0 model. The other side will still be there for the premium content, for the big stars, the big hits, and for people who are laggards in consuming this other stuff. There's a market shift. It's impossible to ignore it.
You talk about the long tail. It's so much easier today to stay current and actually be ahead of the journalists at the major television networks and news outlets because there's just so much content.
True.
If we have, you know, a number of listeners listening to our podcast today, what would you recommend they do to get started?
Now, if you say getting started in terms of producing their own content, is that your question?
Sure.
First of all, find out what you love. Secondly, have something interesting to say. If you can do those two things and you say, I love this and I think what I could produce would be interesting, then next thing you do is go and spend $19.95 on a little headset that has a microphone jack and a headphone jack on the end of it. You plug those into your PC and you're really ready to go. So for not too much money, certainly south of $100, you can podcast. Then from there, become affiliated with Liberated Syndication, ODO. There's a company called Evoca, E-V-O-C-A. Miriam Sharp is the CEO there, and she has a vision that everyone will produce audio. She doesn't call it podcasting, but they'll produce audio to communicate. She gives me these examples. There's a grandmother that reads bedtime stories every day into her telephone. You call into this service, or you can use your little headset like I'm describing, and you record content. Well, her little grandkids that are halfway around the world over in Europe, and they sit down and they listen to Grammy read them bedtime stories. And mom sits and flips the pages. And so there's this ability to reach distances and to time shift content, even time shift grandma.
I would recommend everyone listening to take a minute and check out poddango.com.
P-O-D-A-N-G-O.
Yes. And if you've got content that you want to syndicate in a sense, and you want to find consumers, we'd encourage you to get out there, record it, and let's see if you can find a listener.
There will be a listener there. If you can produce it, they'll be out there. There are people who will agree with you and love your concept and maybe pitch in and you guys form a station together on Poddango.
There we go. Thanks, Lee.
My pleasure, Brad.
For Rocky Mountain Voices, this is Brad Baldwin signing off. Till next time.
This has been a Rocky Mountain Voices podcast. Visit us on the internet at www.rockymountainvoices.com.